Hello, and welcome to Off the Cuff. I am your host, Chris Martinson, and on this program, every week, we are going to bring you a fascinating guest, where we are going to discuss the economy, energy, or the environment, informally and without a script. Welcome, everyone, to this Off the Cuff. I'm your host, Chris Martinson. It's Wednesday, September 18th. We're after market close, 4:03 by my clock here, and this is another FOMC decision day, another quarter point cut, because stocks are only pretty much at all-time highs or a percent off of that, and we apparently have increased housing stock being built. There was a nice uptick in starts, particularly in multifamily homes. We've got jobs at basically joblessness at an all-time low, which means jobs at all-time high. Everything's firing at all cylinders, so of course the central banks had to cut. The Fed today was the latest, stepping up to another easing cycle because, well, whatever they're afraid of, they're not being completely honest about, because they come out in their press conferences like today and they say, hey, the economy's doing good. We're really pleased, but we're a little worried about some uncertainties. In the past, an uncertainty was never a reason to go into a big, giant easing cycle. And the Fed has had to step into the repo market not once, but twice. And we'll explain what that means in just a minute. But here's the summary. They just threw a bunch of cash into the market because the market started to seize up a little bit. And it's technical and it's arcane, but it meant there were some funding difficulties. But there's hints now that the Fed is going to be back into overt quantitative easing. And that's essentially what they did when they step into the repo market. What I mean is they print cash out of thin air, they step into the market and they relieve the market of things like treasury bills, and they put cash in the market. So where did the Fed get that money? Well, they made some keystrokes. That's called easing. That's quantitative easing. Whether that's a permanent thing or whether they intend to reverse that, hey, here to discuss all that and more, Wolf Richter of WolfStreet.com. Wolf, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me back, Chris.
So, Fed decision, repo market. Why don't we start with this little repo market madness? I haven't had a few people say, what was that? It's a little arcane. It's a little weird, but it's about the piping and plumbing of what banks do overnight when they're not open and you're not watching them. But basically, as I understand it, and correct me if you've got a different view on this or more to add, Wolf, that Bank A needs cash overnight, usually to meet some sort of a regulatory or reserve requirement. They don't have cash, but they got a bunch of assets, and they got high quality assets like treasuries. And so they go, hey, who would like to own these treasuries for a single night? You give me cash, I'll give you my treasuries, and we'll agree on what a rate of interest should be for that. An annualized rate of interest usually settles right around the Fed fund rate. That's the point of the Fed fund rate. So we'll call that 2% just to make this easy. So I might say to you, Rick, Wolf, I need cash. And you're like, well, I got cash. I'm like, hey, here's some treasuries and I'll pay you 2%, you know? And you say, great. So you hand me the cash. Now, if it turns out you don't have a lot of cash and there's a lot of people like me needing that cash, we all step into the market at the same time. And if there's not enough cash out there, the interest rate spikes. And that's what we saw a couple of days. And not just a little bit, but spiking to 5% and even 10% when it should have been closer to 2.25%. So that meant pretty big funding crisis. So the Fed said, we'll step in and buy those. We'll repurchase. That's what the repo stands for in the story. We'll repurchase those treasuries from you overnight. And they did it to the tune of 40 some billion. And then I think 75 billion, like big numbers. And the question is, will they undo those? A lot of people are trying to, you know, understand what this means. I understand the mechanism, but I don't understand what caused that liquidity crisis, because banks are sitting on massive amounts of dollar reserves right now, a trillion five. So I thought that's where they, I thought there's a trillion five extra cash kicking around, but apparently not. So what can you add to this story?
Well, that's always an interesting and often unanswerable question. Now, why did stocks go up or down? I mean, this is the sort of thing, you know. There. So now we have a list of reasons why this might have happened in the repo market. You mentioned one of the inconsistencies in this story, which is that the banks have $1.3 trillion parked at the Fed in excess reserves. And in theory, they have this liquidity to lend out. You know, so there shouldn't have been a funding crisis of any kind, you know, because they're sitting on this money and that it's earning the interest on excess reserves. But, you know, if there's a little bit of uptick in the repo market, if it goes up to 2.3, 2.4% interest rate, they'd be more profitable to lend to the repo market. So I don't really understand why they didn't. And I have a theory, based on what the New York Fed has said years ago, that these excess reserves are by only a few banks.
To listen to this podcast in full, as well as all our other premium podcasts and articles, please enroll at peakprosperity.com. Simply go to peakprosperity.com/enroll.